the McDonald's Lanky Trail Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. The Viking Round Ball Podcast with head coach Matt Coles is your weekly look inside Vinton County Vikings basketball. Stand by for recaps and previews of all of this week's Viking action, plus scores, stats, guest interviews, and more. Now broadcasting across the World Wide Web.
From a padded room in his basement.
Alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Coles, here's your host, Carl Knox.
And welcome once again to another exciting edition of the Viking Roundball Podcast, episode 51, as we record this on the Monday afternoon of December 7th, 2015, alongside the head varsity coach of the boys Vikings, Matt Coles. I'm Carl Knox. Regardless of where in the world you are, whatever you're doing, we certainly appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to get caught up on everything that is Viking boys basketball. And there is a lot to get caught up on as we really get into the meat of the season. Am I right, coach?
Yep, we're diving into the league schedule this week.
Yep, early. Wrinkles in your forehead starting to become quite abundant.
Yep.
Is that the holiday season or basketball season?
Both.
Oh, boy. You haven't even thought about it because Christmas even crossed your mind, man. Well, I'll tell you what. These things just seem to get going quick about this time of year. As you're off to a 2-0 start. We'll recap those games, or the game against Jackson here shortly. But as you said, a very busy week as far as opening up TVC Ohio play. As you make the road trip tomorrow night on December the 8th and go over to the McAfee Gymnasium in Athens to take on Coach Jeff Skinner and the Athens Bulldogs, who lost a lot last year, but they still have quite some talent over there, and that's never an easy place to play. And then follow that up with a home date this coming Friday versus the Alexander Spartans. So good luck with that.
Yeah, it's a tough first week of the league, but, you know, we were just talking, I don't know that there's going to be a whole lot of gimmies in this league this year. There's a lot of talent in this league, top to bottom. You look at what some of the teams are doing in their non-league right now. It's going to be a pretty tough league for sure.
Yeah, and you know, I was kind of teasing you about that being cliche-ish, but really when you stop and think about it, it's a year that, you know, as we talk about the TVC, right now the standings and, you know, you, Nelsonville, Meigs, and Wellston are all off to 2-0 starts. Alex is off to a 2-1 start, of which they one of their main scorers, Mason Chapman, was hurt. He was, I think he just came back. What was it? Saturday night was his first night back.
Played a little bit Saturday. Yeah, didn't start, but came off the bench. Played a little bit.
Yep. Then River Valley's off to a 1-3 start. Athens is off to an 0-1 start. Don't let that be very deceptive, as they lost in overtime to Fairfield Christian Academy, and that was a real high scoring game. You were at that game, weren't you?
Yeah, they lost to Fairfield Christian, who's really got a nice team, couple nice guards. So yeah, That's a good Fairfield Christian team.
We'll do the whole preview on Athens after we get through our guest, which we'll be bringing in later on in the podcast via phone, as we haven't done one of these for a while. But going to go back to the year of one of your favorite years, I'm assuming, as coach, the 2007-2008 season, where you won the first and only thus far. Notice I do predicate that with a thus far, because we do expect more out of you than we've gotten thus far. And that'd be the district championship. One of those leading seniors of that team was none other than Ryan Stewart, who has quite a resume, especially his senior years. He really helped out your Vikings, particularly from beyond the arc. He had, I think, his the all-time most three-point goals in one single game with 8, ironically, versus Athens in 2007. And he also has 3 other games with at least 3 or at least 6 three-point goals. But we're going to be visiting with Ryan later on. He's done well for himself. I know he had a stint in the military following graduation at Vinton County and has moved back to the area and is working. In fact, when he gets done, we'll be talking to him on the phone. But just quickly, your recollections of Ryan and what kind of a kid he was and player for you.
Ryan was a fun kid to coach. He has a great personality. He was a very good athlete. I mean, people might remember watching him on the football field.
Standout quarterback.
Yeah, he was an athletic kid. On a basketball court, he played on obviously one of our better teams with a couple really good post players in Guthrie and Prater. And basically, he's kind of settled into the role as a shooter for us offensively. Now, defensively, he could really guard somebody. I mean, he was one of our better defensive players with his quickness, athleticism. But he was a shooter for us offensively. I think he hit 70 threes that year, which I believe is a single-season school record. And just really had an outstanding senior year and was a big part of the reason why we were able to win that district championship you mentioned.
Yeah, and he was a kid that, really, as you said, wasn't just exclusively a basketball player, just a good all-around athlete and a fun kid. I know that I saw him. It's interesting to me, not trying to blow, sunshine around you, but just thus far this year, the amount of former players I've seen come back to the games with likes. I looked over the other night, and Ryan's over there with his girlfriend. And by the way, Ryan Stewart has bulked up. Have you noticed him lately?
Yeah. A lot of these guys,
I'm not talking fat.
Find the weight room after high school. You ever notice that?
Yeah. maybe that's a testament or lack thereof to the head coach. He's muscular. He's a big boy. And I'm not talking, fat. He's muscles. But he was there. I've seen Andy Grillo at the foundation game, Levi Lawhead, Amarine, Jay Wiseman. I've seen Scads.
I ran into Alex Owens the other night. He was there.
Yeah, Alex was there. I've seen Dustin and Dylan Guthrie. Of course, Dustin Guthrie is now your seventh grade boys coach.
Right.
I think in his second year as the seventh grade coach. And just my daughter's in middle school, and she's, of course, going to the middle school games and always complimenting on the annex of the seventh grade boys coaches and Dustin and Frank Guthrie, his father, the way they can act. And he says, she says it's pretty interesting to watch those guys on the bench. But all these guys coming back, and obviously a good year to watch as we kick off the season. You're 2-0 now. Obviously, you kicked it off with a win at the Zane Trace Tip-Off Classic against Washington Courthouse Thanksgiving weekend. And then this past Friday on December the 4th, you take care of Jackson in a home tilt. Final score 66-49 under the Ironman under first-year head coach Max Morrow. As you take care of business, I know one of the big things that you were kind of harping on last week is half-court defense. And that was one of the things you were going to work real hard on. Looks like you did a pretty good job of it as you kind of led this game bell to bell. You jump off to a 13-7 first quarter lead. Scored half was 31-15 through three quarters, 51-29. Of course, the final 66-49. Tristan Bartow leads the Vikes with 14 points. Actually, a very big spread as you got to go very, very deep in your bench as kind of one of the many things that you got going for you this year. Bartow has 14, Naylon Yates and Jordan Albright with 9 points. Derek Jones with 7. Sean Cottle and Bo McIntyre both have 6. Bryce Dambrin and Nevin Yates both get their first varsity points with 4 each. And Chase Wood and Jake Speakman, who Jake also gets his first varsity points, both with 2. Cooper Donaldson, he's a freshman, isn't he, for Jackson?
Yes.
Nice looking player.
Yeah, he is. And he's going to, you can just tell by looking at the kid, he'll grow. His parents are tall, and he's not a, you can just tell he's not, he hasn't grown into his height yet, but good player. They've got a couple good sophomores. They got a, Jackson has a, from what I understand, a pretty good eighth grade class. So it sounds like Coach Morrow has some things to work with there moving forward, and he'll probably get that program turned around.
Yeah, Cooper led the Ironman with 14 points, and that's one thing. No disrespect at all to Phil Howard, the prior coach for Jackson, but Max brings a spirited, motivated, very energetic brand of basketball to Jackson, and it showed. Even though that maybe they were a little lesser on the talent level, that those kids put in a good effort for Jackson Friday night. Really played hard defense, and you can tell it's just the beginning of some things I think are going to be good for the Jackson community as Max starts to instill his program. Your general thoughts on the game? I mean, I'm sure there's always things you can look back on and say, that wasn't exactly what I wanted.
Right.
But just your overall thoughts on the win.
Well, I mean, we worked on what we focused on during the week, which was playing better half court defense. And I think sometimes, in a game like that where you end up building a sizable lead, you can just get sloppy and start running around. And I was glad that we didn't do that. I felt like we stayed pretty structured in what we wanted to try, what we wanted to work on, what we wanted to get better at, defensively being the main part of that. But even some things offensively we were able to work on. And I think that's important in a second game of the year, because you don't really want it's not so much the spread or how much, you know, you beat a team by. You really want to make sure you're getting better so that you can use it, you know, in the following games. And I thought we did that. So I was pretty pleased with the effort all the way around. Like you say, we got a lot of kids in, got a lot of kids involved. So that was a big positive. I think we had almost our entire roster score, like you read off there. Anytime you can get those kids those type of minutes and get different people involved, that's always a good thing, especially early in the season. These kids have been practicing now for a month. It's nice to get some of those kids in the game that sometimes don't get as many minutes as the other ones.
Yeah, and you know, when you mentioned the point, not only the half-court defense looked a little stronger, I thought on offense, you guys, as far as the looks on those, particularly three-point shots, seemed a little bit rushed over at Zane Trace against Washington Courthouse. And I've noticed that throughout the preseason with the scrimmages and things. It looked as though the offense was making an extra pass Friday night, and it showed from the overall shooting. It looked like the shots you were taking, kids were having a better look at the basket, and it wasn't so, I don't say rushed or unorthodox or whatever. It just seems like the offense is starting to kind of gel. And when you go as deep as you guys do, it's not just five kids out there, but you're bringing kids off the bench. And that was one of the comments. I don't know. I know you're so sensitive and pay so much attention to the crowd during a home game or any game for that. Did you notice the amount of coaches that were there Friday night?
No, I didn't really notice. I figured, though, it was some odd reason. I find it a little bit odd.
They were all off.
Early in the season, there's I looked at some of these teams' schedules as we're getting ready to scout, and it was kind of funny to me, like the how some teams maybe only play one game in the first couple weeks of the season, or two games. Now, in all fairness, you got to look at the schools individually, and some of those schools may have thought, hey, we're going to make the playoffs, so let's hold off, or maybe, you know, that type of thing. I think sometimes you have to think about that. If you have a football team you think potentially could play a couple extra games, or you don't want to front load your schedule. But yeah, it was kind of strange to me, you know, the amount of teams that didn't play on Friday night. There's different ways to look at it, but I think sometimes getting games in early in the year is not the worst thing in the world, just due to weather later in the year. You run into that type of stuff. But I figured there were a lot of people there, and we've been trying to move around a little bit and scout some people too. I know the other night we watched part of one game, got in the car and went and caught the second half of another game, just trying to move around and see some different teams play. It's that time of year, I guess.
Yeah, I know Athens was idle last Friday night, and Jeff Skinner was there, as was Jay Klein from Nelsonville. Also, it wasn't Coach Gary Kellogg from Logan, but one of his staff guys was there, to watch the game. And obviously they're going to get you twice, and I'm assuming they're going to be playing Jackson.
Yeah.
This is the final real year of the SUAL. I was trying to help you out. I was trying to actually help out Coach Skinner, because I saw him, and he, of course, said hi. And I said, Coach, why are you here? Why are you here? And he was like, well, I'm scouting. I was like, you don't need to do that. You really don't need to be here, Coach. You should just take your card and go home.
Should have just left, bought him dinner.
I thought about getting him a pizza, and he could grab it on the way back, you know, through town. Go home, be with his lovely wife, Heather. And he just kind of grinned. And, then it's also interesting, Gabriel, the former head coach of Alexander, Blaine's just turned into a gym rat. He's out of the coaching business, and I think he misses the kids, but I think he's made the good transition. He just likes to get out and watch basketball.
Right. Yeah.
Interesting to hear his comments on your team this year, and he emulates the same thought process I do, is that the lot of talent on the floor, we just still got to work on coaching.
Well, that's the main thing.
Now that we're through the trivial stuff as far as the game, just real quick thing before we get in here talking Ryan Stewart. There's an apparent dilemma in the coach's office regarding the dress, and we talked about this last week, and I'm a little concerned, because last week you made this big deal about how you're trying to attempt to get away from wearing ties.
Yeah. Well, I'm not really attempting. I'm going to get away from work.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we're recording this, so it's on tape.
Yes.
So when you turn into your wuss self and let your assistants roll over on you, they can play GQ and look like pretty boys, and you're still going to look like you're dysfunctional self. What were you wearing Friday night, Coach?
Yeah, now here's what happened.
Okay, I can't wait to hear that.
I've got some guys on my staff, as you know. I'm not going to say names, but his initials are NJ. And and of course, Chad Carpenter, who's style extraordinaire, you know.
Right.
These guys live in Jackson. You know, they got to have uphold their image over there.
You're going to blame.
I was tossing him a bone and saying, "Look, we'll wear. I know you guys are shirt and tie boys. We'll wear this, you know, against Jackson since you live over there and you're embarrassed not to wear a tie. So basically, I'm just a team player, man. I was trying to you know, cut them a break, but that was but one break that we cut them.
Even our director of video analytics, when Tyler Carr.
Oh, yeah.
He was
sporting. Tyler likes to throw on a tie.
Yeah, he was looking.
Carr is all about the dress.
He was looking good. Now, the only rebel of the whole staff that did not wear a tie that I noticed was one Terry Wayne Pup Dog Llama Hale.
Yeah.
Who's the unofficial executive director of Vinton County Basketball Operations and assistant freshman coach and scorebook keeper extraordinaire.
He marches to the beat of his own drum.
Absolutely, and it's a big drum. He didn't have a tie on, but
no.
He's
not all about caving.
See, I mean, when you say all this stuff, and then you come up with these lame excuses like, "Well, some of my assistants live in Jackson, and they want to look good for the, you know, their hometown guys." And I'm calling bull. I think as my grandfather used to put it, I think the tail is wagging the dog.
Was that your grandfather, or was your Norm Pearson imitation right there?
I got busted last week because I did a Norm Pearson imitation in front of Paul Boggs, and I thought he was going to crap himself right here in the studio. No, but I just think that the tail, i.e. the assistants, are wagging the dog. And when I say dog, I'm referring to you.
Well, time
it's not a purebred either. It's a mutt.
That's for sure. So,
no, it's good time Friday night. Got a set with I've got this all under control. We got a new segment with the podcast. I know you're gonna love it and be very excited about it. One, Amy Combs was in attendance with both of your kids, and somehow she ended up setting the whole, I don't know, half of the third and all the fourth quarter with me and my wife. More or less my wife. They were talking Zumba and wine drinking and stuff that, you know, how they talk.
Yeah, right.
And I you know, she seemed to really enjoy herself with that interview. And I thought that's something to revisit periodically.
Yes. Yes, I'm sure.
Especially as the season gets closer to, you know, the end of the conference play and tournaments and when the fun really starts, that would be just, you know, a nice diversion from the X's and O's.
Yeah, I'm sure that would, all eight listeners would really enjoy that.
I'm trying to use this as a ratings drive. Honestly, we did make comments. I don't know what you were doing or what you were thinking, but late in the game, and not to say it wasn't a bad call, it was a bad call, but you know, officials, they occasionally, not very often, but occasionally make mistakes. Bryce Dammer picked up a foul down on our end. I think it was a charge.
Yeah.
You remember this?
Yeah.
Just let's set up the scene here. You were up by a lot of points, like 18-19 right. points. You were as deep on the bench without going to the third grade ball boy that sets at the end. Everyone was playing. You had your and you went nuts. And, you know, the whole crowd was kind of going nuts, you know, objecting to the call. And
now, nuts is relative when it comes to me. Now, did I really go nuts?
Here's to know, just as a self-evaluation process, Coach, for your mental state. When you go nuts is when you get what I have deemed, and your wife seems to agree very adamantly with this assessment, and she does have a social work psychology background. I call it monkey face.
Yeah. You is that the official psychological? Yeah.
Yeah. That's
in the handbook.
She said, what's he doing? I said, look, he's got monkey face. And she just laughed. And I said, yeah, he's got primate instincts, you know, right there. It's you know, the whole evolution thing. But I'm like, seriously, it's too early in the season to be torturing yourself like that.
No, I don't remember getting that worked up.
You had monkey face.
Had an itch.
No. I mean, yeah, it was when the face, it's not the squinty eyed. It's very noticeable. I think we ought to just get another. I think maybe T. Carr could arrange that. We'll have one camera doing the game, and we're gonna have another camera on the bench.
Yes. That's the day I quit.
Might be a good pilot for a sitcom.
Yes.
I don't know. I tell you what, coming up next, we'll talk to a former player. I'm sure we'll get all his insight, old stories about you when you were really a handful back in the 2000s, you know, up to 2004 through 2008 was when he saw you in your rare form. The old, one and only Ryan Stewart. He joins us next as part of our Where Are They Now segment on the Viking Realm Ball podcast as it rolls on. Back with the Viking Realm Ball podcast presented by McDonald's. McDonald's of MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Back for segment two of episode number 51 of the Viking Realm Ball podcast alongside the varsity head coach of the boys Vikings, Matt Combs. Coach, I know you're always excited to talk to old players.
Yeah, that's one of the funnest parts is when I see guys, you know, every now and then at a game I'll see people, but I can only basically shake their hand, how you doing, don't get a long time to visit with them.
Right.
So it's always nice when we get a chance to visit with somebody.
I tell you what, it's good to bring back this guy's I think everybody has very fond memories of watching him play from the class of 2008. There was a stellar class and a class that brought Vinton County and you our first district title ever. Happy to welcome in Ryan Stewart. Ryan, how are you, buddy?
Doing all right, guys.
Well, I'll tell you what, it doesn't seem like, it just seems like yesterday, you know, coming back from the convo after you guys got that 1-point win over, Greenfield McLean.
Yeah.
And you guys bring home a district title. Just tell us, what in the world have you been doing ever since graduation in the spring of 2008? What path have you gone down and what's going on?
Well, after high school, I went to OU over there in Athens for about 3 years. I was working places over there, and you know, after about 3 years of college, I figured, you know, I need more to my life. Being a part of the basketball team and football kind of left a gap once I left high school, so I figured I'd join the Army, and lo and behold, I'm in the reserves now, waiting to go back to college, I guess. Got married my teacher Griffith. You might know her dad, Jess.
Yeah, you guys are married now, right?
Yeah, we haven't had an official wedding. I guess I shouldn't have said that on public radio.
Well, that's not public radio. I knew you were dating, but I didn't know. I've known Keisha. Actually, she's friends with my neighbor's girls, the Reedy girls, and yeah, I've known Keisha all my life. Yeah, nice girl. You might be out punting your coverage there. No, seriously. Tell me a little bit about before we get into your athletics. When you mentioned the military, you went to college, did some time there. How many years were you in active duty per se? As far as how many years were you gone in the military?
Well, I'm in the Army Reserve, so when I left I left for boot camp in October of 2012,
mm-hmm.
and I got back in April of 2013. Shortly after that's when I met my wife.
Right.
So I was only really active duty for about 6 months, but I've been all over the country doing training throughout, you know, my reserve career. They send me 2 weeks, month here, month there, wherever they need me. I've been pretty much every state.
How do you feel like the military has helped you, I guess for lack of a better word, grow up, mature? Do you feel like you're a little bit more of a responsible young person now than what you were when you went in?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I think Coach Combs can attest to the way I was in high school and growing up. I mean, the military kind of put the picture, you know, a little bit bigger than myself. It's all about my comrades to the left and to the right of me. And it gave me a better perspective on my life and what I'm supposed to be thinking and where I'm supposed to be at.
Well, you may be being a little hard on yourself. I was just saying before you came on, I really enjoyed coaching you, Ryan, and you know, you were a fun guy to be around, a great personality, a lot of energy, obviously, and I noticed that you know, you put something on Facebook a while back about the teamwork and the camaraderie, and it was something that you know, that really caught my attention and made me feel proud for one of our former players to feel that way. And you know, those are qualities that obviously we're trying to teach kids when they're 16, 17 years old. The same we were trying to teach you that and Dutt and all the other guys in your class. But I think it's one of those things that you probably don't fully appreciate till you get a little bit older, don't you think?
I 100% agree. I mean, we had at times I think that our team was a little bit too unselfish. You know, there were times where Dutt could have easily taken a 2-pointer and, you know, put us up by 15 or 20. Instead, he kicks it out to me or Drew or Ben or one of the sophomores like Andy Grillo or something like that to shoot a basket.
Yeah, and that was the thing about that team. It was a fun group to coach because, you know, there was unselfishness there. There was it was a team that and I think this is important that everybody learned and accepted their role. It was a team that everybody sort of knew we were gonna play through Dutt. Obviously, you know, you had a guy like Jake Prater too, who's a good player inside, and the guards really understood though that hey, we got a role here, and your role obviously for us was one of your roles besides what you did defensively for us was shooting the three, and to this day you still hold the all-time record. We were talking about that with 70 three-pointers in a season. So it's fun to see guys when they get older, whatever they decide to do, whether it's you know, whether it is military, whether it is some other career path or getting into coaching. I noticed you were even hanging around freshman practice a little bit. So is the coaching thing something you enjoy?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love it. That's what I want to do. I'd like to finish my degree and coach basketball, football. I mean, you know, I guess when you're a player, you kind of miss the game. You be around those guys. It's a lot of fun.
To that point, and I don't know if you ever participated in any of the alumni has been practices where you guys come back in, but I noticed you and Keisha were at the game this past Friday night versus Jackson, and first and foremost, you've hit the weights hard, haven't you? You got big, man.
Yeah, I'm about 205 right now.
Yeah, it's not like beer fat, you know, like you've been knocking down Doritos. It's like you've been in the weight room a little bit, haven't you?
Yeah, I put on some main weight, but I'm not as fast or as athletic as I used to be.
well, to that, I mean, as you sit there in the stands, and we were commenting earlier in the podcast about how many, you know, old alumni guys, you know, coming back. I see Grillo, and I've seen Dutt and Dill Guthrie, and, you know, just a whole array of guys. Does the feeling ever, like, because I know probably if you're anything like me, when you were a senior in high school, you kind of couldn't wait to get out of there because you thought you knew everything in the world, and then you go out in the real world and you get your head kicked in a few times and you realize you're not quite as smart as you thought you were. But as you sit in the stands now, does it ever feeling cross your mind like, gosh, I would love to be playing again?
Oh, you're 100% correct on that case. I mean, you know, basketball, playing in the combo with, you know, you don't realize how many people are in Benton County when you're playing for a district title or when you have an undefeated season like we did our junior year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that right there, you know, we packed stands. We had a student section that probably should have got kicked out every game when we were in high school. I mean, we had the community really rallies around this basketball program whenever we're doing really well, which we've been blessed the last several years. Every time I step there, I just, the environment, man, you just wish you were back in it.
Let me run through real quickly. I know Coach got some more questions, but just your career highlights in basketball. Unfortunately, I know you were a very good football player. I don't have those stats in front of me, but as far as varsity boys basketball, 422 career points for Vinton County. You were in 2008. You were all TVC, second team Southeast District, second team District 13, and honorable mention all Ohio. And that same season, the team went 22-2 with one regular season loss. That was to Huntington Local. You have the all-time record for Vinton County of the most three-point goals in any one game with 8. That was done on December the 11th, 2007 versus Athens. You had 3 other games that season alone with 6 three-point goals. You have the all-time single-season three-point goals with 70, and that was in that same season of 2007, 2008. And you had a single season, your senior year, out of that 422 career points, 313 of them were in that your senior year as you guys won the district title. So, we, you know, obviously you padded Coach Combs's win and loss record. I don't know if you notice, we like to give the coach a hard time, but what are some of your memories when you look back, not just to all those wins, but I know that Coach and his staff, I you were back in the, we'll see, Coach Jeff Miller was on the bench then, and who else was there? Neil? Who?
Eldridge.
Was Eldridge still?
Eldridge was there when Ryan was a junior, yes, and then Coach Miller came back, correct, when you were a senior, I think, was Coach Miller's first year back. I mean, Coach had been with me way back when I started, but then he came back when Ryan and those guys were seniors, yeah.
Well, Ryan, with that in mind, the fact that you had this nut job, Coach Combs, as a head coach, and then you had the likes of assistants in Jeff Miller and Chris Eldridge,
And keep in mind, this is a family show, but you've got to have some stories of some of the things that went down with having those characters on the bench giving you instruction.
Oh, I got one story that he probably remembers pretty good. We were doing, I think it was a summer scrimmage, or it was a scrimmage we held at our, maybe it was a game, I can't quite remember where it was, but we were at home, and we were, Colm's always had a way to fire us up, and he could just tell if our energy was bad. We were down, we were playing sluggish. Anytime he got a chance, he was ripping our butts. I think he's gotten a little softer over the last couple
years. Yeah, he has.
But I remember there was one time we went back in the locker room, and he's mad. He's punching the clipboard, throwing his marker, and he looks at all of us, and he goes, he says, I don't know how old he was back then, but he said, I'm a pretty big boy, and I can kick every one of your butts. And he looked. He saw Dutton, he saw Benny, goes, except those two, but I can take the rest of them.
Yeah, I was old enough to be smart enough that I didn't want any part of those guys. Yeah, so Ryan, before we let you go, what's next, I guess, for you just personally? I mean, obviously you're going to continue with the military and you know, where you're working now. Do you have anything, any extra plans for the future?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this past November, I put my E5 packet in for the Army, which means if I pass that board, I'll become a sergeant, and I'll do it within 3 years, and that's pretty rare. So fingers crossed for that. My wife graduates from OU this fall or this spring, and we're hoping, you know, to enjoy each other for a couple of years before we start having kids. And as far as my job goes, Austin Powder's where I'm working. They built a new plant, and they're paying people a little bit more money than they used to make. But once she gets a job, I'm hoping to go back to school and get my degree. I got it in psychology. I'm kind of hopefully turn into a school counselor of some sort so I can be in the school district so I can help coach.
So long-term, awesome. Not necessarily a teaching background, but more like in a counseling role with young kids, is that and doing that with coaching, that's kind of the long-term goal for you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, considering the upbringing, the humble upbringing I came from, I feel like, you know, there's always going to be a kid in school that had the attitude I had. Yeah, I'd be there to help them out. That'd be great.
Yeah, and I'm saying this with all due respect, and you kind of came from a background when you were really young that, you know, you maybe were a little bit of a, I don't want to say troublemaker, but you're kind of mischievous.
Oh yeah,
and you kind of had a tough road to hoe, and it's you kind of came out of that. Well, obviously, you know, as we mentioned with your wife, you know, great girl and great family there, and you've got on the right path, and I'm sure that you would say that athletics had a lot to do with that. But would it be your goal is, not just coaching, but to really work with the kids? And I'm not just talking about the straight A National Honor Society kids. I'm talking about those kids that were kind of like you were. That you could have gone either way. There was a point in time in your life, and I'm preaching to the choir, that you might have gone down a bad road, but you didn't, and now you've kind of righted the ship. You want to pass that along to other kids?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'll be all honest with you. If it wasn't for John Royster and Coach Colm's in high school, Coach Colm's knew about the type of kid I was, and he knew how, you know, I had an attitude problem. I might have been a little rough around the edges, but He didn't use that as a crutch to take it easy with me. He was hard on me. I mean, he wasn't afraid to rip my butt, and he wasn't afraid to tell me, look, you're not going to play varsity your sophomore year. You're going to come and play defense. That's your role. You're not quite developed offensively. Now, I could have done one of two things. I could have shut down and been like, fine, whatever, I'll do what I want. Or I could have said, I'm going to prove him wrong. I wasn't mad at Colmes for some of those things, but it motivated me to become a better basketball player and a better person. If it wasn't for those two, I don't really know if I'd be where I am today.
Well, that's humbling, Ryan. I appreciate you saying that. And I think it's something for the, it's definitely something for our kids to learn from. And you've certainly got a lot to offer. So hopefully you'll be able to accomplish those goals and maybe even come back here to Vinton County someday and work with us.
Well, that'd be a great coach. It'd be an honor.
I'll tell you what, Ryan, we really do appreciate you taking time out of your day, and wish you and your newly beautiful wife, Keisha, wish you guys all the best. And I'm sure we'll see you, in the crowd supporting your Vikings throughout the rest of the season, okay?
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. Thanks, Ryan. Take care.
Have a good one.
All right. Ryan Stewart, Where Are They Now segment. I tell you what, Coach, that is always fun. I mean, I know that we've had different levels of players, from players, coaches, from, I mean, heck, some of the coaches back, you know, 70s and 80s, right, when you and I were young. But it's always good, especially to talk to the kids that have played for you. Because, you know,
that's fun for me, for sure. Just because to be honest with you, I hadn't got a chance to visit with Ryan much. I saw him there a couple times, asked him how he was doing, and you know, it'd either be at a game or be at like when he was helping with the freshman practice. So things are kind of hectic and busy, and it's always fun for me to sit here and listen and kind of catch up and know where kids are at. I oftentimes think about I assume, you know, by now hundreds of kids that I've coached here. It'd be nice. I almost wish I had a list that just told me what they were all doing. You know, Facebook helps a little bit. You can kind of keep up, but it's always interesting to know.
I think it would be interesting. Maybe we can talk to Terry Hale seriously about doing this. Not me. I'm not necessarily part of that. But I think it'd be interesting, you know, be at a homecoming event when they have the alumni and homecoming, to at least make it, you know, optional to have a get together of anyone who played for you since, you know, from now back to 2000.
Yeah, well, I've thought about stuff like that before, like trying to have some sort of reunion of players, and that might be something we can look into down the road.
Yeah, I tell you another thing, we could do a golf thing, but knowing your competitive arrogance, you'd cheat just to win.
Well, I mean,
no,
if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
That's Matt Cummings 101. You ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Tell you what, back before we get out of here, we got a couple of games to talk about, and they're biggies. Not trying to sugarcoat or anything like that, but going to TVC Ohio play this week is, like we said, we're taping this Monday afternoon, December the 7th. Tomorrow night, December the 8th, you go over to Athens to face Jeff Skinner and the Athens Bulldogs. Let's just get through that one real quick. I know you've had a chance to scout them. Obviously, Griffin Lutz, is their predominant player. Obviously, they lost the Lorman Twins last year, as well as Joe Burrow, who's, by the way, playing quarterback up at Ohio State. Is the moxie on them going to be, and I don't think it's any secret, is it going to be stop Lutz and you win? Or what did you see from them? Because I know that, you know, they got Zakiya Saltzman. He didn't play last year. Very good football player. Very athletic.
Right.
What kind of a game? What kind of a tempo? What are you looking for tomorrow night?
Well, obviously, Lutz is a guy that is going to have the ball in his hands a lot, looking to score a lot. Saltzman's capable as well, like you said. I mean, he's had a year off of basketball, but he's going to just continue to get better and better as he gets his feet back on the ground. He's obviously a great athlete. And, you know, when I look at some of their other guys, I see some guys that in spots are young, inexperienced, but those guys are going to get better as the year goes too. So it'll be interesting. I do think Lutz is obviously, you know, you'd be crazy if you didn't say he was the key to everything. I mean, kid had 38 points, I think, in their opener, and very athletic, very fast. What makes him a good scorer is he can hit shots that you can't really do a whole lot about. You know, when he pulls up from 17 feet and gets off the ground on his jump shot, you're not going to totally prevent that shot. So,
right. So
he's going to score points. You're not going to completely shut him down, but obviously, you know, you hope to work as hard as you can against him and try to make it as difficult as you can, I guess, and then. Just hope as a team you can outlast them.
Well, that and obviously playing at the MAC, I don't know what it is, and maybe it sounds kind of cliche, that just never seems like a fun gym to play in.
You got to figure part of that is Athens has been good a long time, and anytime you have to go to a place where a team is consistently good, it's not easy to play there, and so it's going to be a challenge, no doubt about it. Because I still think this Athens team is a good basketball team, and I know it's easy for people to look at what they lost, but I think, you know, you have to also pay a lot of attention to what they return, and I think they've got the potential, like so many teams in our league, like we talked about earlier, to be a really good team.
Well, and then coming up this Friday, December the 11th, a home triple header. By the way, in the event that you do happen to listen to this game, this podcast isn't going to be published until late tonight, but the Athens game is a double header. Athens does not have a freshman game, so the JV tip will be at 6 o'clock at McAfee Gymnasium. But coming up on Friday night, the 11th, a triple header home date with Alexander.
Right.
5 o'clock with the freshman tip as varsity coach Jim Kearns in his second year brings a very capable and a pretty experienced and athletic varsity Spartan group over here. I know last year they got you guys over in the alley. You split 1-1. Mason Chapman, he's a senior this year, isn't he?
No,
he's a
senior. Yeah, yeah.
He's coming back from an ankle injury. They lost with the exception of Mosley. They're all of them are back.
Yeah, yeah. They have a large group of upperclassmen and experienced players.
And you know, obviously they had the long football run, and then you couple that with Chapman's knee injury, which held him out there for the first couple weeks or first couple games. You know, I think Alexander's, you know, early in the season been trying to sort of find their way a little bit, but they're going to be a really good basketball team. If when, you know, Chapman coming back now gives them an additional score, obviously just another guy that's played 3 years of varsity basketball, 3 or 4 years of varsity basketball. And they're very big and strong. When I say big, not necessarily 6 foot six across the board, but mm-hmm. they're, you know, just 6'1", 6'2", just strong, physical kids. They really take pride in their defense. They're very good defensively. So it's, again, it's going to be by the – I know it seems like coach talk, but every night in this league, you're just going to have to just battle. I mean, it's going to be – it is. There's just not going to be nights off. I mean, there's just not a lot of teams in this league. Once they hit full stride, now, there's a couple teams that are dealing with football injuries and they're trying to get kids back. But when teams hit full stride in this league, nobody's going to be easy to play against.
Are they very deep?
Yeah, Alexander is very deep. They play pretty consistently, 8-9 guys. So yeah, they have depth. So yeah, there's not. I mean, you're talking about a group of guys that have been together for a while, and they had a good year last year. And like you said, with the exception of Mosley, who's obviously a big loss. I mean, he was a good player, but they return everybody else.
In terms of Jim Kern's style, he they have up tempo.
Well, I mean, he's a defense first coach, which I respect that, and you know, they'll play. Offensively, they'll play multiple ways. You know, they'll grind tempo against you at times, but at times they'll run, they'll play. But they hang their hat on their defense, and they're very good at that. And so offensively, you really have to be sharp.
Well, we look forward to it. Should be a good week. Any special dress code tomorrow night over at Athens?
No, I think we're just going polos and dress pants tomorrow night. Okay. And we'll wear dress shoes, too. Just that'll make you happy.
You
weren't a tennis shoe guy. Huh? No, you made it clear you were not a tennis shoe fan.
No, I made it clear I was not a fan of the specific tennis shoes, if you want to call them that, that you had on.
Oh, okay. Just...
I would classify them more as Tinkerbell shoes. But that's just me. I did have an idea. I think I told you, you know, Friday night, just it was like I just like to mess with you before games because I know that about 10% of what someone says to you actually makes it to your brain. But I think because you got to realize you got to – this whole dress code thing, you got to pull one over on the administration between Mr. Brooks and Mr. Waddell.
Yes, because I'm looking to mess with them.
Well, no. You got to be politically correct. You got to have an excuse. Like I was thinking, think about this: for Christmas, we can do a Hawaiian luau theme, and you can pass that. You can kind of let the pep club, those kids take the fall for it.
Right.
So what you're doing is you're wearing like a Hawaiian shirt, like shorts, and maybe flip flops. And then if you get in trouble, you say, "Well, the Pep Club said
I'm trying to be a team. I'm trying to support the Pep Club."
Yeah,
right. Now we've let the cat out of the bag, though. I don't think.
Well, and I mean, I was thinking just take one step further. Maybe Valentine's Day, do a Cupid theme, and like you know, you guys like go out in togas, like little towels, with the little bow and arrow. You know, remember the little rubber end of bow? And, yeah,
that might increase attendance just out of curiosity.
Hey, and you're the AD, and I understand the budget is a fiasco mess, so that would increase gate. you got to think like a business guy, Coach.
Yes. Yeah.
Tell you what, we'll talk to you again next Monday.
All right, man.
All right, have a good one. For Matt Combs, Carl Knox saying thanks for joining us for the Viking Roundball Podcast. We'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. Join us next week for an inside look at Vikings hoops with the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, and your host, Carl Knox, right here on the McDonald's Viking.